I've got 45 minutes of sermon to do in 20 minutes. Those of you who know me know that it's impossible. Opening your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Exodus, chapter 2, verse 2. This is part 3. I really would like to finish this today. It might be 1 o'clock, 1:30, 2. No, I'll get you out of here in a reasonable amount of time. My reasonable. Exodus chapter 2, verse 2. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman. And she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. This was their third child. Aaron had already been born. Miriam had already been born. Now Moses was coming along. You know the story. I don't have time to go back and tell you the whole story of how the princes found him in a basket in the Nile River. And his parents, by faith, had put him in that basket and literally given him to the Lord, trusting God to take care of him and help it turn out all right. The only way that they were able to do that was by faith. And Hebrews chapter 11 says, by faith Moses was hid, and then Moses was put into a basket, and Moses was put into a river. Had Moses' father, Amram, not been such a man of faith, had Jochebed, his mother, not been such a woman of faith, they would have never been able to do that. And the end would have been much different than what it was. There were certain things that was instilled in Moses. Now, we don't know how long she was able to hide him. Some scholars think 8 months. Some say as much as a year and a half. We don't know how long she was. Since he was in a little basket and crying when he was found, I'm thinking 6 months, maybe, that she was able to hide him. But there came that moment that by faith, she had to trust God to take care of him. The way she did that was by what had already been instilled in her life. But not only her, it was being instilled in Aaron, it was being instilled in Miriam, and it was being instilled in a baby called Moses. So Amram was teaching his family that hard times do not erase God's promises. And I want you to understand that no matter how difficult a situation gets, God's promises are still stronger than that difficult situation. Number two, harsh treatment does not escape God's notice. He sees, he is aware, he cares very deeply. He will do whatever he needs to do to rescue his people. That's what he's proving. Number three, harsh tests do not hide God's concern. God is concerned for you. He's concerned what's happening and what's going on in your life. Sometimes if we're not careful, we get to the point where we think, well, God, he's got a lot to do. He's running the universe, and he's having to take care of old sister so-and-so and old brother what's-his-name. He doesn't have time for me. God has time for everyone. And he is concerned about everyone. So the first thing that we did, we looked at God's promises. And again, I don't have time to go all the way through that. But God had already promised that he would have a deliverer. He told Abraham 400 years before this, I will send a deliverer and bring my people out of Egypt. That moment had come. The Bible shows that. The stage was set. Moses had been found by Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh's daughter had already consented to have Moses' mother rear him, nurse him, and teach him. So that stage is already set for this deliverer to come on the scene. You and I would think it would be immediate. God doesn't look at things that way. God moves on time, every time. Never too late, never too early. But doing the right thing at the right time in the right place. So that brought us to point two, which was God's notice. And we wanted to explain how God's notice. He said he searched and his eyes go to and fro across the earth. And he searches the earth. He sees what's going on. He knew what that mother was going through, Jochebed. He knew what the family was going through. He had already set up Exodus chapter 2, verse 9, where it says, take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you. That let Jochebed know, that let Amram know, that this baby was God's baby. Because God was taking care of the situation. God knew what was happening. And they believed that they were just God's ministers. That they were employed by God, doing a job. And the greatest job they had at that moment was seeing that Moses was raised, taught, instructed in the ways of the Lord. That he understood who he was, what his foundation was, who God was, what God had done. Dad, let me tell you something. You are the minister of your home. The word says that you are the priest. And you should be filling that place. You should be instilling in them, the members of your family, your children, your wife, the important things that they're having to face. That God never leaves you and he will not forsake you. You need to be instilling into your family those important attributes of Almighty God. God expects you to. Ladies, moms, you need to be holding him up so that Dad can take his rightful place as priest in the home. And you need to be ministering to him so that he can be strong. So that when the moment comes, she and he can trust God. Even though it's tough And believe me, it's going to be tough. You serve God in the world today, it's going to be tough. You walk with God in this world, it's going to be tough. You step out on the end of the branch where the limbs get little and limber. You're going to find out what tough is all about. Can you imagine? Can you understand the faith of the trust that Jochebed and Amram must have had? How many of you moms could put your baby in a basket in the water with crocodiles? Damaris, one day, she said, "Can we go fishing?" I said, "Sure. Love to go fishing." So we drove over to a state park that had a great lake to fish in. I rented a canoe. We got in the canoe. I'm kind of in the front and she's kind of in the back. And as we pushed away from the shore and we were going up this little canal toward the lake, Damaris said, "What's all those logs doing out there, Daddy?" And I said, don't pay any attention to them. We'll be okay. Then in a few minutes, we're out in the lake, and she said, "Daddy, that log's following us." And I said, "Baby, that's not a log. That's an alligator. I want to go home." "You're all right." "No, I want to go home now." And I said, "It's okay." She said, "They're all out here. Take me home." If she'd have fell out of that boat, she'd have been gator bait. But anyway, I would have had a heart attack or something. I know one thing, I'd have been in there after her. Can you understand the faith that it took to put your baby in a basket in the water? Serving God sometimes means walking a hard path. It's not for the faint of heart to walk with God. Sometimes it takes gut and gumption. It takes fortitude. I've met so many significant saints who have endured difficult situations and just stood firm for God. That took great faith. They endured affliction and loss and disappointment and setback and failure and pain, but stayed true. But I've seen those same folks walk by faith, clinging, even when they're going through all of this stuff. They're full of joy. They're clinging to their joy. They're clinging to their hope. They're holding on to their powerful spirit. They're believing God for miracles. Even though they're in the midst of heartache, tears, and sometimes even death. The process of this experience that keep on walking. Lanny Wolf wrote a song years ago back in the 80s. Keep on walking. No matter how hard it gets, no matter how difficult the moment, keep on walking. The process of keeping on walking, you know what it does? It'll promote an obedient life. If you'll keep walking with God, you'll become more obedient. It's those that starts questioning or those that'll turn and go back because this is too hard. They break that obedience. But if you'll just keep on walking, that obedient life will come shining through. It'll promote a teachable spirit. Too many Christians do not have a teachable spirit. I equate teachableness and correctableness as two of the greatest attributes for discipleship. If you're not teachable, if you're not correctable, you'll never be a disciple. If you'll keep on walking, keep on believing, even in the hard times, all of a sudden you'll have that teachable, obedient, correctable spirit. It also teaches that spiritual ends are never achieved by carnal means. We try to help God out by doing it our way. You're setting yourself up for failure. It teaches you that timing is as important as action. Sometimes we just want to get it done. Chomping at the bits. No, there's timing. We move when God says move. Boy, I had a good story for that one, but I can't tell it, so you'll just have to imagine it. When God is in it, whatever you're facing, whatever you're doing, when God's in it, it's going to flow. There's going to be a flow to it. So many times I've had people come up to me and say, how do I know if this is God? Nah, is it flowing? Is it smooth? I didn't say, did you like it? I didn't say, is that the way you would do it? I said, how's it flowing? That's one of the ways you know, is this God? Because if God's in it, it's going to flow. But if it's of the flesh, it's going to be forced. When you're trying to put a square peg in a round hole, you get a big enough hammer, you can do it. And some of us believe that whether it's a spiritual thing or whatever it may be, if I get a big enough hammer and I hit this thing hard enough, I'll be able to take care of it. Sometimes that's flesh. That's us. We're more intent on getting that done than pleasing God. Spiritual leadership is God appointed, not self appointed. Some of us have selective leadership skills. We want to lead when it's fun, but if it gets hard, that's somebody else. Let them do it. If God says do it, not only do you begin it, but you finish it all the way through. No matter how difficult, no matter what you have to face. God's telling this family, this is my child. I want you to take care of him. It was a tough place to be because there was a death sentence that had already been passed on baby Moses and the family if they got caught. So if you just keep on walking and you walking by faith, You'll learn to rest and rely on God. What great peace comes when you learn, I can trust Him. I can keep on walking. I can see this thing through. This mom and dad believed that they had been chosen for the task, and they stepped up to the plate. It was buried into their heart that when God, who had great plans for Moses, was seeking somebody to take care of this baby, Amram and Jochebed was chosen. Some of you got babies. Some of you got big babies. You were chosen. You think it's a mistake that that kid came to your house and was born of your body? I don't believe in those kind of mistakes. I think God knew us before we were born. And I believe we were assigned. I was assigned to Alma and Emmett Lewis. Makes me scratch my head sometimes too. My dad, there was moments he was hard to get along with. I never was. I was almost a perfect child. Except I lied a lot. Still do sometimes. I was sent. And if I'd have had any other mom and dad, I wouldn't be me. Neither would you. Neither would Moses. Jochebed, Amram understood that. God was seeking for a deliverer. He sought someone to make it possible for that deliverer to fulfill the plans that God had for him. We never do it alone, do we? We have help. Do you realize God has plans for you and He sent you on a quest, but He put you in this church so that this church could help you? He put you in your family so that your family could help you? He surrounded you with people that are going to help propel you to finish your quest, that job that He had for you. If you abandon that, the job doesn't get done. Moses, he was placed in a family that was going to help him fulfill the plans that God had made for him. So when God got ready, who did He commit that task to? It wasn't an unbeliever. It was to a man and a woman that was full of faith. It wasn't a hireling. It was somebody that God trusted. He committed Moses to his own mother and father. And the very princess of Egypt said, I'll pay the bill. You raise him, you take care of him, and I'll pay you. When God wants to train a child in achieving the very best that he can, to reach the highest of heights of his life, He sends him to the school of a godly mother and a godly father first. That's your job. When God chose the mother and father for Moses, for his nurse and his teacher, He made a wise choice. The choice was wise in the first place because the parents of Moses were eager for the task. They were a willing pair. They didn't see him as a problem. They didn't see Moses as a burden. They saw him as a blessing. Their opportunity. Don't ever look at your children as a burden. I know it gets difficult. Just snatch them bald-headed and keep on walking. That's why when I was little, I always had my hair almost shaved so that my dad couldn't snatch me bald-headed. Whatever glad days may have come in their lives, in their history, I'm sure there was no happier moment in the household of Amram than that time when they realized that they were getting a matchless blessing, a matchless privilege of raising their own child. Wouldn't you like to have been Jochebed that night? I mean, in the morning, she'd put that baby in a basket, put him in the water, let him float out in the reeds. That night, she's cuddling him and being paid by the princess. What a day! But that's what God can do. He can turn it all around in a twinkling of an eye. But we have to trust him. And we have to keep on walking. Keep on believing. They believed that this was the highest privilege that they could ever be asked to do. And they were eager for it. The choice was wise that God made in the second place. Because they were a man and a woman of great faith. You want to make God happy? Let faith develop for your family in you. That you believe them, that you trust them, that you know that God's got their good and that God will take care of them. In Hebrews we read that Moses was hidden by faith. Both the father and the mother were people of faith. They were full of dedication. They were full of devotion. They were full of faith. It's true, they were slaves. Now that devotion, that faith, that dedication to God did not change their circumstance. They were still slaves. They were still in Egypt. Their chance of a great life seemed so poor. They almost had no chance. They lived in a dark day when the light was dim. But every little ounce of light they had, they lived in it by faith. Their home was a godly home. That breath of sweet fragrance that only comes from a household of prayer. When those children went to sleep at night, Moses, as he began to grow, mature, he would hear that sweet fragrance of the breath of prayer moving all through that house at night. As Amram and Jochebed called upon the name of the Lord. I have little hope for the rearing of a great Christian leader in any other kind of home. I have no hope for the rearing of a new and a better civilization in any other type of home. We have some godless homes in America today, and it shows. It shows in our society and our culture. Our national life is harsh today. Hate torn. We're living in times of intense bitterness and selfishness and sordid greed. It's every man, woman, and child for themselves. Step on whoever you have to step on, kick them in the curb. But what civilization is today? The home life of yesterday has made it. Can I say that again? You might want to write it down. What our civilization is today is what our home lives of yesterday has made it. We're a product of our actions, our beliefs, our thoughts. And what our civilization, what our culture will be tomorrow is of the home life that we have today. You want a better America? Have better homes. You want a godly America? Have a godly home. If we do not have Christian homes, believe me, we will never have a Christian civilization, a Christian culture, a Christian society. It's proclaimed today that we are post-Christian. We've gone beyond that. First time I heard that term, it infuriated me. I said, those stupid people will never be post-Christian. I believe that America is post-Christian. Most of society has gone off. Most of our culture has gone beyond. God is back there and he's of old. It's not the modern way. Be a sad day if we let that go unchallenged. The churches in America had better start standing up. I got to quit there. Yeah, I didn't get to point three. What can I say? But I've got 2.5 pages left. So it won't do me no good to get point three. Bow your heads with me for a moment, would you please?